南無妙法蓮華経、南無妙法蓮華経、南無妙法蓮華経。I'm not sure that's focused. A little tap. Better? Not that I have to be in focus so you can see my lovely face. All right. Hello, friends. I'm so happy that you're here and that you're practicing Lotus Sutra Buddhism. I hope and I trust that you're in good health and secure. If you're not, stay with us, and we will improve our karmic mind-body connection, yeah? So, where are we? We are still in the chapter. What was the title of this chapter? Yes, Ease in Practice. How to achieve ease in practice, it would be more accurate. Ease in practice kind of suggests that there's an easy way to practice. It's not wrong, except that it's misleading. The way to ease in practice is to practice with correct attitude and intent. And that's a matter of practice and accomplishment, achievement, building, developing. That's what I was trying to say. O Manjushri, he continues, in the future world, when the Dharma is to be extinguished, not that it's supposed to be, but that is this corrupt world of greed, anger, and foolishness, we will see the teachings of the Lotus Sutra be so greatly diminished and watered down and erroneous because of politics, ego, all the regular stuff, that the true merit, the true meaning of the self-enlightenment that is contained within the guidance of the Lotus Sutra, it'll just be lost to history. Because it will have been usurped by or in service to other people's agenda, right? Getting a lot of members, making money, being politically powerful. It's all the authoritarian, since man's been around, trying to one-up one another, yeah? So, having this Bodhisattva Mahasattva, this person, this ideal bodhisattva that we're talking about, who has the strong mind, the resolve, the confidence to do this right. Having perfected the third sphere of ease in practice, will not be perplexed when he teaches this Dharma. He won't trip all over himself because he'll understand the meaning. He will become acquainted with good fellow students who will recite this sutra together, you and I. He will also acquire a great following who come to hear his teaching. Preserve it after hearing it, recite it after preserving it, teach it after reciting it, copy it after teaching it, and enable others to copy, respect, honor, praise, and pay homage to the Lotus Sutra, the Myoho Renge Kyo. That's what this whole resource is about, right? Enabling, promoting, giving you as much of a resource, written, audio, verbal, visual, so that you can have a library of insights and discoveries to draw from so that nothing can stumble you. So that you're so confident that in the understanding of the meaning of self-enlightenment that no branch of it stumps you. And if it does, it's just an occasion for doing some more research. Yay! So that you can get even a larger understanding of Dharma. Yeah, of the experience of Buddhaness. What greater purpose could there be for this life than enlightenment? Thereupon, the Bhagavat, wanting to elaborate on the meaning of this, further spoke these verses. Well, of course, this is the memorization part, right? If anyone wants to teach this sutra, he says, he should get rid of jealousy, get rid of anger, pride, flattery, deceitfulness, falsity. Those are all aspects of anger, right? Manipulative. And manipulation of the self as well as everyone around. I mean, we don't often see that everything is a two-way street, right? Remember the old cliche? When you point at something, there's three fingers pointing back at you, right? He should always practice honest conduct. There just is no gain except maybe a temporary gain, but it will turn to crap later. There's no gain to being dishonest. There really is not. There's only you go backwards. So he should always practice honest conduct. That doesn't mean you're always right. It just means that your attitude and your intent is honest. That's all. Yeah, sounds easy. He should not slander others, right? Or make up fallacies about the Dharma. Yeah, when you reach Buddhaness and you experience the Dharma of Buddhaness, you'll be able to smoke cigars and not get cancer. I can't even say it with a straight face. But that's, you know, there are claims out there that are just nuts like that. They're probably not said that way. Nor should he cause others to be doubtful by saying, you won't become a Buddha. Oh, like I have the power to do that. This is a self-motivated practice, right? You will not become a Buddha. Who would say that? God, what a terrible person. And obviously, complete misunderstanding of how Buddhism works. This heir of the Buddha who teaches the Dharma, you and I, should always be gentle and patient. That doesn't mean we should all sound like this. Oh, don't worry. You'll get there. And some of you may sound that way. I'm not putting it down. I'm just saying we all have our own characteristics, right? But again, attitude and intent should be gentle. Gentle and patient. Believe me, I know. I'm not one who has tremendous tolerance for continuous error. But, you know, maybe, and that's why we're all different, maybe those who come to know me closely, maybe they need to be, somebody needs to be stern with them in order for them to pay attention and really get it. We all have different fits, right? Like a puzzle. I know a puzzle is pretty basic shape, but you know what I mean? Everything like atoms making molecules. They're all the same atoms, but they attract or are in conditions and tendencies that make them come together this way or that way simply because they're in different conditions or different situations or have different tendencies. Just like people, those who find me or that I find them, however that magnet works, we come together for a reason. Either I'm here to challenge you and you, but then you think and you come back. Well, maybe he had a point, damn him. And you come back and you hear something totally different. The dynamics of relationships, and this is why he started with that first, is that you need to look past that politic, that opinion taking. You can observe it, no problem with that, Don't get hooked into it. And what did he say? He said, keep your mind contemplating Buddha. Single-mindedly contemplate Buddha. Why? For that very reason. Sometimes the karmic obstacles we have are the loudest, most annoying, unreasonable things when they're challenged. So it's entirely possible that when you feel panic, react, stupid, and want to do all the reactionary stuff, maybe there's something there. Maybe you need to go, let me back up. I'll take a break. Let me think about this. Chant for a little while. Open this and see if, what was that? Just lost some frames, I guess. See when then you walk away from your altar or you just take a pause. If certain thoughts don't pop into your mind that make you reconsider how you were feeling a little while ago. Heck, I can remember doing that and busting out laughing at myself or at the situation, like, what? And not even understanding what I was upset about, and then going back and not being able to find what the heck it was I was upset about. The monkey mind is really something. Okay. This heir of the Buddha who teaches the Dharma should always be gentle and patient and compassionate to all. And that includes yourself, by the way. He should never have lazy thoughts. That's good enough. I'll do it later. You know, those kind of thoughts. He should respect the great bodhisattvas in the 10 directions who practice the path out of their compassion for sentient beings. Right? We have an entire meditation dedicated to the lineage of this teaching coming to us with great respect, reverence, and appreciation, right? And think that they are his great teachers, our great teachers. Absolutely they are. And the ones that are around us that cause us, you know, personal upheaval, they're teachers too. Everything is, right? He should think that all the Buddha Bhagavats are the most excellent fathers, right? That's one aspect of Buddha-ness. We see everyone as a child. They upset us like a child. They make us proud and grateful like a child, right? But we need, within all of those emotions, we need to be a reasonable father that can sense those emotions, but not overreact to them. Understand their source, appreciate them for what they are, recognition of things, right? The advancement of our child. It's exciting. Destroying arrogance, he should teach the Dharma without obstruction. Don't think you know better than your student. That's all that says, right? There's a tendency when we try to teach somebody something to take a position of authoritarianship. Let me show you what I know. You'll get this after a while. Don't teach that way. That's so condescending and not right. The student who you think is completely ignorant of Buddhism may surpass you in far less time than it took you to achieve what you have achieved. Don't be jealous of that. Be awestruck by that teaching that your student is excelling at came through you. That should be exciting, exalting. It should make you more deeply, profoundly thankful, grateful for this practice. You see? The third sphere of the teaching of ease in practice is like this. The wise should preserve it. Those who practice wholeheartedly and at ease will be honored by innumerable sentient beings. And the point isn't that you get a blue ribbon when he says this. The point is that you will be deserving. You will have achieved a respectful aura. Your influence will be strong And that's what our practice is about, right? Furthermore, O Manjushri, in the future world when the Dharma is to be extinguished, any Bodhisattva Mahasattva who preserves this Myoho Rengekyo, this Lotus Sutra, will awaken the thought of great kindness toward lay Buddhists and renunciants, and also awaken the thought of great compassion toward non-Bodhisattvas. He should think thusly. People like these have really missed the Tathagata's teaching of the Dharma according to their capacities through skillful means. They do not hear, they do not know, or realize it. Learning, realization. They do not ask, or believe, or understand. Those people do not even ask questions about this sutra, believe it, or understand it. When I attain highest complete enlightenment, wherever I am, I will lead them and enable them to abide in this teaching through my transcendental powers and power of wisdom. It's all about teaching the Dharma, sharing the Dharma with others from an attitude and intent of an enlightened, benevolent, compassionate point of view, yeah? Try not to bend the computer processor here. O Manjushri, he continues, after the Tathagata's Parinirvana, this Bodhisattva Mahasattva, whoever he may be, who has perfected the fourth sphere of the teaching of ease and practice, will be faultless when he teaches the Dharma. He will always He will always be paid homage to, respected, honored, and praised by monks, nuns, laymen, and laywomen, kings, princes, ministers, commoners, Brahmins, and householders. The devas in the sky will always accompany him in order to hear the Dharma. If he is in a village, a city, secluded spot, or forest, and the people want to come and ask difficult questions, the devas will protect him both day and night. Always, for the sake of the Dharma, he will cause all of those who listen to him to rejoice. Why is this? Because this sutra is preserved through the transcendental power of all the Buddhas of the past, present, and future. How is that possible? Because past, present, and future are all happening at the same time. O Manjushri, even the title of this Lotus Sutra cannot be heard in incalculable lands. How much more is it unable to be seen, accepted, preserved, and recited? This is the scarcity, right? Buddhism isn't spread via advertising or huge campaigns of proselytizing. It's a person-to-person, a connection from sentient mind to sentient mind. O Manjushri, suppose a very powerful noble emperor wanted to subdue other countries with his might, but the lesser kings would not obey his command. In such a case, the noble emperor gathers an army together to overcome them. He recognizes the soldiers who have committed brave deeds in war, and greatly rejoicing, he bestows boons according to their merit, such as estates, villages, cities, garments, ornaments, various treasures, gold, silver, lapis lazuli, mother of pearl, agate, coral, amber, elephants, horses, chariots, servants, and subjects. But he never gives them the precious jewel in his top knot. Why is this? Because only the noble emperor has this precious jewel in his top knot. If the emperor gives it away, his attendants would certainly be very surprised and mistrustful. O Manjushri, the Tathagata is exactly like this. He has attained the land of the Dharma through his powers of concentration and wisdom. And this is true for all of us who attain Buddha-ness, Buddhahood. Yeah? That's what he's showing as a target. He's saying, this is who you see me as, but those aspects are part of the Dharma, not me, Shakyamuni. They don't get that quite yet. Thus, he has become the king of the triple world, right? The triclocosmos. Since the Mara kings will not obey him, the wise and noble generals of the Tathagata come to do battle with them. The Tathagata rejoices at the meritorious ones and teaches various sutras to the fourfold assembly, gladdening them. He bestows upon them the property of all the teachings about concentrations, liberations, faculties without corruption, and powers. He also bestows upon them the city of Nirvana. Saying that they have attained Nirvana, he leads their minds onward and gladdens them all, and yet he does not teach them the Lotus Sutra. So how's he speaking to them now? He's speaking a bit of history, right? O Manjushri, it is just as if the noble emperor finally gives the jewel that has long been concealed in his top knot. Although he perceived the great merit of those soldiers and was deeply pleased, he did not rashly give them the marvelous jewel. The Tathagata is also exactly like this. Since he is the great king of the Dharma in the triple world, he inspires all the sentient beings through the Dharma. When he sees the wise and noble soldiers who have done battle with the Mara of the five aggregates, the Skandhas, and the Mara of desires and the Mara of death, who have great merit in battle and have extinguished the three poisons, left the triple world and broken out of Mara's net, he then rejoices greatly. He now teaches the Lotus Sutra, which is treated with hostility by the entire world and is difficult to believe and which has never been taught before, and enables sentient beings to attain omniscience, this ultimate clarity of being, Buddha-ness, yeah? O Manjushri, this Lotus Sutra is the ultimate teaching of all the Tathagatas, the most profound among all the teachings, and conferred at the very end. It was in the same way that the very powerful and noble emperors gave the jewel after having preserved it for such a long time. O Manjushri, this Myoho Renge Kyo is the secret treasure house of all the Buddha Tathagatas, and the foremost among all the sutras. The Buddha has preserved it for a long time, and he has not taught it indiscriminately. Now, for the first time, he teaches it. At that time, the Bhagavat, wanting to elaborate on the meaning of this, further spoke in these verses. Always practice patience and be compassionate toward all, since only then can one expound a sutra praised by the Buddha. In the future, those who preserve this sutra should be compassionate and kind toward lay Buddhists, renunciants, and non-bodhisattvas, saying those who have not heard this sutra or who do not believe it in it have consequently lost a great opportunity. When I attain the Buddha path, I will expound this teaching through various skillful means and enable them to abide in it. Suppose there was a powerful noble emperor who bestows upon those soldiers meritorious in battle various gifts of elephants, horses, so on and so forth, servants and wealth. He gives these gifts with joy. If there is anyone who has been brave and has performed difficult deeds, the noble emperor gives them the precious jewel in his top knot. The Tathagata is exactly like this. He is the emperor of all the teachings. Out of his great compassion and through his treasure of wisdom and great power of patience, he inspires the world according to the Dharma. Seeing all the sentient beings suffer, seeking liberation, and doing battle with the Maras, he explains various teachings for the beings and teaches various sutras with his great skillful means. Knowing that the sentient beings have finally attained the power to understand, he teaches the Lotus Sutra only at the very end. Just like the noble emperor who gave the jewel in his top knot, this sutra is the utmost, superior to all the sutras. I have constantly preserved it and have not revealed it indiscriminately. Now is the right time to teach it to you. After my parinirvana, those seeking the Buddha path who want to attain ease and expound this sutra should become familiar with these four spheres of the teachings concerning ease and practice. Those who recite this sutra will always be free from anxiety and illness and will have a noble countenance. They will not be born into poverty, lowliness, or ugliness. And remember, when he says born, he's talking moment to moment, right? Birthday. Because at any moment, fortunes can turn. You don't have to live very long to find that out. Most of us anyway, right? Sentient beings will want to meet them just as they long to meet a wise seer. And all of the Devaputras will serve them. Sticks and swords cannot hurt them, and poison cannot harm them. If people slander them, those slanderers' mouths will be sealed up. They will travel fearlessly like a lion king, and the light of their wisdom will illuminate just like the sun. If they dream, they see only subtle things. They see the Tathagatas seated on lion seats, teaching the Dharma to the assembly of monks surrounding them. They see Nagas and Asuras as numerous as the sands of the Ganges River, honoring the Tathagatas with their palms pressed together. Revealing themselves, they teach the Dharma to these beings. They also see the Buddhas with golden bodies emitting immeasurable rays of light, which illuminate universally, and expounding various teachings with beautiful voices like Brahma's. To the fourfold assembly, the Buddha teaches the highest Dharma, revealing themselves among them. They praise the Buddha with palms pressed together. Hearing the Dharma, they rejoice and pay homage to the Buddha. He's slipped into the hyperbole of the experience of Buddha-ness now. You can see that, you can hear that in the words, yes? They attain the power of recollection and achieve the wisdom of non-retrogression. The Buddha, knowing their minds, and that they have deeply entered the Buddha path, gives them the prediction of the highest complete enlightenment, saying, O son of a virtuous family, in the future, or daughter of a virtuous family, in the future you will attain immeasurable wisdom and the great path of the Buddha. Your land will be as pure and vast beyond all comparison. The fourfold assembly will also be there, listening to the Dharma with their palms pressed together. It's inevitable. As you awaken your Buddha mind, you influence the Buddha mind of those who may not even know anything about it. But your influence is moment to moment radiating into those energy fields we call others. Yeah? That's what our sentient mind is. They who recite this sutra also see themselves in mountain forests, practicing excellent teachings, experiencing the real aspect, moment-to-moment instantiation of potential, deeply entering into concentration and looking at the Buddhas in the 10 directions, all of whom have golden bodies adorned with 100 auspicious marks. They will always have such pleasant dreams. And hearing the Dharma taught, they will teach it to others. They will also dream about becoming the king of the realm who abandons his palace and retinue and highly pleasing desires of the five senses, the skandhas. They'll drift away, right? approaches the terrace of enlightenment, sits on the lion's seat under the Bodhi tree, attains the wisdom of all the Buddhas after seeking the path for 7 days, and who, arising, turns the wheel of the Dharma. After having attained the highest path, they will teach the Dharma to the fourfold assembly for thousands of myriads of kotas of kalpas, explaining the true and incorruptible Dharma. They will save innumerable sentient beings. Later, they will enter nirvana. Just as smoke dies away when the flame of a candle is extinguished, if anyone in the troubled world to come teaches this highest Dharma, they will attain great benefits, like the merits mentioned above. Now he's set the stage. Wow. So that's what you expect of the bodhisattvas who have the determination of these spheres of being, bodhisattvas. And these great visions and sense of life, the engine of life, being moment to moment in it, engaged in it. That's what you expect from all these bodhisattvas who said they would do it. Don't worry. Okay, we got a better idea what you're expecting, but, and the payoff seems, well, really unknowable to us until we yet get there. So what's the next chapter, do you think? The bodhisattva emerging from under the earth. That next chapter is about you and I, my friends. Should be interesting, yeah? Listen, tremendously grateful that you're listening, that I hope you got to the end of this. You can download this as a audio podcast on the Buddhahood podcast, yeah? And wherever you get your podcasts. I have not yet found a good enough, in fact, most everything that I've found, unless you got to invest hundreds of dollars in it, as a transcriber, sucks. Google's transcriber sucks. Everything that I found that even cost, well, the trials I've taken of some that cost money to have the full version, they're just horrible. And you know what a fanatic I am about language. I'm not claiming any perfection, but man, if you're going to transcribe somebody's words, get the words right. It's not like I'm totally mumbling here, yeah? Wow, I've seen some really horrible stuff. But, you know, I haven't seen everything, I'm sure. So if any of you know of a good transcriber from an MP3 file or even, well, yeah, these are MOV files now that can take the MP3 from the podcast or the audio stripped from the MOV and turn it into a reasonably accurate text. If you guys know of something out there, even if it costs $2,000, I'd like to know about it, because right now I don't think it exists. And I'm certainly not convinced that it exists well enough that I'm going to try to spend whatever money we have in our coffers to buy it. And then I wonder, well, is it really of value? There is a singular aspect to these videos, me talking about the word-for-word reading of these sutras, that I add a lot of color and depth, I think, to those words. So to have the whole thing as a transcript, I think could have some value for study. You could scan it much faster than you can a video, for instance, and you could mark it up and say, this is what's important for me right now, which, you know, to do that with videos is it's just too taxing. It's it's just not doable. So I'd like to hear your opinions, though. Let me know what you think. Is it worth going down that rabbit hole? Number one, do you know of a software that's really excellent at creating written transcripts from an audio file, whether it's an MP3 or whether it has to be stripped from an MOV? With VLC, I could create I don't know if it'll do a WMA or a high resolution audio file like an ACC or something, or FLAC or something like that, when it strips it from MOV file. That's something I might have to look into. But you understand the software I'm looking for. I haven't been able to find anything. Certainly, that's within my affordability. But, you know, we all need targets. And secondly, if we were to go through all that trouble and purchase some software to do that, would it have value for you? It'd be like buying a little book on each and every video. And that would be quite a huge endeavor for me. I'd probably start from the most recent, but like I've said before, there's easily 1,500 videos on this channel, probably past that by now. That's a lot of transcripts. But if it's worthwhile, if you think it would augment the usefulness of this resource, I'm all for it. So let me know your thoughts, okay? In the meantime, be kind. Take care of your health. If you can support this effort through just liking and subscribing, brilliant. It's a Bodhisattva act. It helps us grow the channel. If you can buy some books or ebooks or what supplies that are helpful to you, they are a contribution toward this channel operating. And patrons on Patreon and direct through PayPal, you guys, namo myōrengekyō. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We all thank you, right? All right. Enough blah, blah, blah. Take care of yourself. I'll see you in the next one. Bye for now.